Mother of Jesus and Mother of God, obtain for us something of your own deep faith and your divine Son, so that believing in Him as you did, doing His and your mortal lives on earth, you now merely possess Him, never to lose Him for all eternity, that we, believing with something of your faith, will join you and Him and never again, dear Mother, be separated from Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a prayer of St. Alphonsus Liguori to the Mother of Sorrows. My sorrow, the Mother, by the merit of that grief which you felt on seeing your beloved Jesus led to death, obtain for me the grace to bear with patience those crosses which God sends me. I'll be fortunate if I also shall know how to accompany you with my cross until death. You and Jesus, both innocent, have borne a heavy cross, and shall I, a sinner, who has merited hell, refuse mine? Immaculate Virgin, I hope you will help me to bear my crosses with patience. Amen. There's the prayer of St. Francis Xavier to Our Lady as the hope of all Christians. Mary, Our Lady, hope of Christians, Queen of angels and of all the saints who are with God in heaven, I commend myself to you, my Lady, and to all the saints now, as if I were at the hour of death, to preserve me from the world, the flesh, and the devil, the enemies who plot with all their power against my soul, and hope in their malice to cast me into hell. Prevent this, most loving Mother, I pray and beseech you. Amen. A meditation of St. Robert Bellarmine on Our Lady as a woman clothed with the sun. The vision which St. John described in the Apocalypse of a great sight in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, is the glory of our Queen after her assumption into heaven. Who else could this woman be, clothed with the sun, except Mary, immersed in the light of God's divinity and clothed with glory by Him whom she had once so generously clothed with her body? What else can this crown of 12 stars signify but that she possessed all the gifts and virtues that dignify the other members of the Church, 12 in number, to symbolize the highest perfection, the faith of the patriarchs, the knowledge of the future of the prophets, the charity of the apostles, the courage of martyrs, the wisdom of the doctors of the Church, the holiness of priests, the contemplation of hermits, the humility of the monks, the purity of virgins, the continence of widows, and the fruitfulness of the married men and women in the Church of God. The moon beneath her feet is a symbol of change to which Mary is no longer subject, since she has entered heaven with a body and soul. Amen. The consecration of St. Louis de Montfort to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I, in my name, faithless sinner, renew and ratify today in your hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce forever Satan, his pomps and works, and I give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. In the presence of all the heavenly court, I choose you this day for my mother and queen. I deliver and consecrate to you, as your slave, my body and soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all my good actions, past, present, and future, leaving to you the entire and full right of disposing of me, of all that belongs to me, without exception, according to your good pleasure, for the greater glory of God, in time and in eternity. Amen. In our litany of Our Lady, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us. God, the Father of heaven. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world. God, the Holy Spirit. Holy Trinity, one God. Holy Mary. Holy Mother of God. Holy Virgin of Virgins. Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church, Mother of Divine Grace, Mother Most Pure, Mother Most Chaste, Mother Inviolate, Mother Undefiled, Mother Most Amiable, Mother Most Admirable, Mother of Good Counsel, Mother of Our Creator, Mother of Our Savior, Virgin Most Prudent, Virgin Most Venerable, Virgin Most Renowned, Virgin Most Powerful, Virgin Most Merciful, Virgin Most Faithful, Mirror of Justice, Seat of Wisdom, Cause of Our Joy, Spiritual Vessel, Vessel of Honor, Singular Vessel of Devotion, Mystical Rose, Tower of David, Tower of Ivory, House of Gold, Ark of the Covenant, Gate of Heaven, Morning Star, Help of the Sick, Refuge of Sinners, Comforter of the Afflicted, Help of Christians, Queen of Angels, Queen of Patriarchs, Queen of Prophets, Queen of Apostles, Queen of Martyrs, Queen of Confessors, Queen of Virgins, Queen of all saints, Queen conceived without original sin, Queen assumed in heaven, Queen of the Most Holy Rosary, Queen of Peace, Queen of the Society of Jesus, Queen of the Marian Catechist, Queen of the Ignatian Catechist, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God. Let us pray. Grant we beseech you, O Lord God, that we, your servants, may enjoy perpetual health of mind and body, and by the glorious intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, be delivered from present sorrow and obtain eternal joy through Christ our Lord. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God, despite of our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us from all dangers, O ever glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. Panem Veceno Prestitisti Ei.
Omne
et excellens omnis te habemus. Deus nobis sacramenti Postulis in memoriam veni Christi, rebue quaesum, et nos corporis et sanguinis tui sacra mysteria venerari, ut redemptione tui fructum in nobis, jucit essentiamur, qui vivit et regna in saecula saeculorum.
Amen.
The divine praises. Blessed be God.
Blessed be God.
Blessed be his holy name.
Blessed be his holy name.
Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man.
Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man.
Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Blessed be the name of Jesus.
Blessed be his most sacred heart.
Blessed be his most sacred heart.
Blessed be his most precious blood.
Blessed be his most precious blood.
Blessed be Jesus and the most holy sacrament of the altar.
Blessed be Jesus and the most holy sacrament of the altar.
Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete.
Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete.
Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary most holy.
Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary most holy.
Blessed be your holy and immaculate conception.
Blessed be her holy and immaculate conception.
Blessed be her glorious assumption.
Blessed be her glorious assumption.
Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother.
Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother.
Blessed be Saint Joseph, a most chaste spouse.
Blessed be Saint Joseph, a most chaste spouse.
Blessed be God in his angels and in his saints.
Blessed be God in his angels and in his saints.
May the heart of Jesus and the most blessed sacrament be praised, adored, and loved with grateful affection at every moment in all the tabernacles of the world, even to the end of time.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bless you. Pleasure. It's my pleasure. I am so glad.
When Our Lady appeared at Fatima, she said that man must stop offending God. Was she telling us that our Lord was counting to him all that we are doing to ourselves and to the mystical body of Christ? Yes. I would say one of the most important verbs that we better understand as Catholics is a verb to offend. We speak correctly about offending God when we sin. We say that sin is an offense against God. First, what do we not mean? When we say that we offend God by sinning, we do not mean that we in any way harm God. We in no way injure God. We in no way deprive God of anything. God does not become less happy because we've sinned. God is God. God is infinite. He is all perfect. And above all, he is absolutely unchangeable. What then do we mean when we say that by sinning we offend God? The essence of offense, or the essence of offending, is acting contrary to someone's will. The essence of offending is acting contrary to someone's will. Now, when someone acts contrary to our will, we are hurt, displeased, injured, made sad. The verb offend has been chosen by the Holy Spirit. It occurs both in the Old and New Testaments to help us understand in some degree what we do when we offend God. We, though we are finite creatures, this is a mystery, we can freely choose to act contrary to the will of God. That's part one. What do we mean by offending God? We act contrary to the will of God. However, there are three ways that we can speak of offending God. In the way I've just described, God is offended. God was offended before he became man. And God would have been offended by any of his creatures acting contrary to his will. However, God became man. Oh, then the picture changes. That man, we believe, Jesus Christ, is the living God. When we sin and act contrary to the will of God, we do no harm to God as God. Have we caused suffering and pain to God made man? Yes. That, my friends, is the fundamental reason why God became man. So he might be able to suffer. Because as God, he cannot suffer. That by his then willing endurance of pain, it was God suffering. It was God being scourged. God being crowned with thorns. God nailed to the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. And since Christ 2,000 years ago foresaw the sins we would commit, did we contribute to his sufferings? We did. Can we honestly say we contributed to his death? We did. Third meaning. Even now, though Jesus Christ as a physical person can no longer suffer. Oh, but that is why Christ instituted the church and the mystical body. So that although he cannot suffer in his physical person, he wants to suffer. Do you hear me? He wants to suffer in the members of his mystical body. Consequently, when we offend God, and with this I'll close the questions, we should finally have our break. When we offend God, first meaning, we deliberately act contrary to the will of God. Secondly, we offend God by hurting God. By causing God pain in the person of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, When we offend God, we hurt and injure God, become man, who has identified himself with all of those who are his believers and members of his mystical body. What Christ told Saul, remember, on the way to Damascus, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Every sin we commit, and we repeat the universal every sin we commit does damage, does harm to the whole mystical body. And God, having become man, identifies himself with the church which he founded. It's way over time for the break. Let's make it till 3 o'clock. In the name of the Father,
all them to be admitted to.
And by the grace of God, to begin to plan, to organize, to subsidize, to cooperate, to train yourselves and others, to start using these marvelous media that God has given the modern world for the extension of Christ's kingdom on earth and the saving of God's people for the kingdom of heaven. I have one more area of reflection on the modern world. I have saved the hardest part of my conscience for the last. How in God's name is pleasure and the phenomenal access to such pleasure as was never before available? How is that meant in God's calling to be a means of salvation? Yes, so it is. How are the pleasures that the genius of modern science has made available? Available in holidays, how are these pleasures among the most potent means of salvation? I hope I'll be clear in what I want to share with you. The access to these pleasures is such a potent means of salvation. Why? Because, as never before, these pleasures are now available to the gift of sacrifice. What am I saying? I am saying that our potential for sacrifice in today's world is so great because the availability of pleasure in today's world is so pervasive. Man's inventive genius has created pleasures for the eye, pleasures for the ear, pleasures for the emotions, pleasures for every faculty of the body, pleasures for the mind, pleasures for the will, as I never dreamed possible until our modern day. We now have access to such satisfactions of pleasure as were never thought even conceivable
in all the ages of antiquity, and either than recently and the past century. Immediately I wish to distinguish two kinds of sacrifice. God has provided so many pleasures in order to make available such extraordinary sacrifices. We now have access to two kinds of sacrifice. The binding sacrifice, which we are obliged to make on the penalty of sin, and the loving sacrifice, which we are invited to make in imitation of Jesus Christ. The more pleasures the world offers us, the more opportunities we have to make sacrifice. We are talking about salvation. We're asking ourselves how to save our own souls and how to cooperate in the salvation of others. Very well. There are three words that should always go together, and they are soul, salvation, and the sacrifice. If we want to reach heaven in our days, and we want to cooperate with God's grace in the salvation of others, we must, and what we absolutely must find out in our lives, what God wants us to remove. But secondly, we should also find out not what we must remove, what I call the sacrifice of obligation, but what we may remove, what Christ invite us to give up or surrender in order to show how much He loves you. Lord Jesus, we believe that You are our God. You became man mainly for one reason, that by taking on our human nature, You might sacrifice Your human body and blood on the cross. You have become man to teach us our imitation of You. We should surrender so many pleasant things that we may even legitimately enjoy in this world, because, dear Jesus, You, the infinite God, when You decided to become man, having joy set before You, You chose the cross. Help us, dear Savior, to live lives of sacrifice in this world by surrendering the ocean of pleasures to which the world invites us in our day, so that by living lives that sacrifice, we honor it. We may enjoy Your company and be embraced by You in that everlasting pleasure for which we were made. Amen. Thank you for listening to me.